Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights from our services last Sunday. We would also like to invite you to attend in person or online at the California United Church of Christ. Our worship starts at 10:30. Sunday school precedes it at 9:30. Or you can catch our sister church, Salem United Church of Christ, out on Route K at 8:30 in the morning. Now, welcome to A Time of Hope.
Visit us again on the day of Pentecost.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With rushing wind that sweeps away all barriers, with tongues of fire that set our hearts aflame.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With love that leaps the boundaries of race and class, with power from above to make our weakness strong.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Kendra Hall leads our children's time.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good. All right, have any of you been to the zoo? Maybe even this summer already? Yeah, what's your favorite animals at the zoo? Zebras, oh, I like zebras, those are good. Giraffes, what? Hippos, yeah, they're pretty funny, aren't they? The seals, what about the big cats? Yes, yeah, the lions, yeah. I like the big cats, I like the tigers and the lions, but I'm glad you mentioned lions because our story today is about Daniel and the lion's den. So do you know that story? Okay, so if you don't know that story, there was a king named Darius and he had a whole bunch of people that worked under him. And Daniel was one of those people that worked under him, but look what Daniel liked to do. What's he doing in this picture right here? He's praying, and look at the, yes, he's praying to our God. And look at the faces of the guys in the window. Do they look like they like that? No, they're mad. And they didn't really like Daniel very much either. So sometimes this happens at school where somebody tries to get somebody else in trouble. It happens sometimes. Well, they were trying to get Daniel in trouble, so they went to King Darius, and they said, hey, he's praying to this God and he's not praying to you. So we should make a new rule that says that if you pray to God and not King Darius, where are they gonna put him? We're gonna throw you in the lion's den. So then look at them. They're spying on him some more. So where do you think Daniel had to go? Darius had to do what the rule said. So he put Daniel in the lion's den. So if you like going to the zoo, how would you feel if you had to spend the night in the cage with all the lions? Would you be a little bit scared? Yeah, like especially if those lions were hungry. He might eat you. Yeah, you might be a snack. But is that what happened to Daniel?
No.
Yes, you're a good listener. So King Darius went back the next morning, and look, he's saying, where's Daniel? Where is he? So then he found him, and Daniel says, I don't even have a scratch. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm still here. I didn't become that lion snack. So then Darius said, well, how did that happen? And what happened again? Some angels came and they shut the lion's mouths. So then Daniel still worshiped God. And then what do you think that told everybody around him? Who should we pray to? We should pray to God, right? Not the king. Nope. Shouldn't pray to the king, but we should definitely pray to our God, right? Okay, so let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, we may not face the same kind of lions in our lives that Daniel did, but we do face many problems which we need your help in overcoming. Help us to be faithful in prayer and obeying what you have commanded us to do. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Senior choir sings their Pentecost anthem, Overflow with Hope.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful song, Overflowing Hope. I love that. Love that message. We all need hope in this world. And we'll be in Daniel chapter 6 if you want to pull that up on your phone or open the Bible or pull one of the Bibles up in front of you. Very familiar story. We said it here during children's time. We all know the story of Daniel's in the lion's den. And we'll read some of it here in just a few minutes. But I think it should be called a different title. It should be called Daniel and God's Angel in the Lion's Den. Daniel gets all the pub. The lions get all the pub. The King Darius gets all the publicity. But as I studied for this sermon and read various commentaries, the angel is almost like an afterthought. It's just mentioned in verse 22 when we go through it. You'll see it when we read through it there. just an afterthought. The angel of the Lord shut the mouth of the lions, and boom, Daniel is saved. But Daniel gets all the credit. Daniel in the lion's den because of his faith. And sounds a lot like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace because of, you know, their resistance against doing something against their faith. So this is Daniel's turn to be persecuted for his faith. Alabama has a song called Angels Among Us. Beautiful song. We see Jesus talk often about angels all through his ministry and his stories that he told. And we see angels minister him at the beginning and at the end of his time here on earth. But it seems like we only think about angels when? Christmas time. We have our play and we have the little kids dress up and we have our angels. We watch our movies and so forth. But we don't really focus or talk about angels the rest of the year. But if you were to pull up your phone and your YouVersion Bible app and you were to type in the word angel or angels, you would see over 300 references to angels. Over 250 verses about angels from the beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelation. And I propose to you this morning that just like the Bible, that angels are all through the story of God and His creation, that angels are still active in our society and in God's kingdom today. If I could tell you that there was only three angels that were given names in Scripture, could you guys guess those three names? I know you'll get the first two. The third one's a little tricky. Does anybody know the angels' names that we see in the Scripture? What's that?
Michael.
Michael's one. And who's the other one? Gabriel, of course. You know, he's very mentioned. And you'll see him, Gabriel and Michael, both mentioned in chapters 9 and 10, explaining visions that Daniel is having. So we get to see their names mentioned in just a couple chapters. Do you know the third angel that's mentioned? A tricky one. What was Satan's first name? Lucifer. Satan was an angel cast down from heaven because he tried to overthrow God. So those are the three angels that are mentioned in Scripture. But when we read about Scripture, we see three primary functions of the angels. Number one, they are here to proclaim God's word. And we just read it here in chapter 22 that Alan read, proclaiming God's word. We also see that angels are here for protection, to look after God's people. And we'll look at some specific things. But then we also see that angels are here for punishment at the end of days. Angels are the one that deliver God's power and His glory and set things right on this earth before the second coming. But let's read here in Daniel chapter 6 to reaffirm ourselves or kind of reacquaint ourselves with this story. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule through the kingdom. Those are kind of officials, with three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Sounds a lot like the story of Joseph, all right, and the Pharaoh. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." We've moved on to the second king now. King Nebuchadnezzar has faded into the background. He said, "May the king live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den." Instead of a fiery furnace, we have a lion's den. "Now, your majesty, issued a decree and put it in writing so it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree into writing. I think a little bit of pride there. Just a little bit of pride. It's nice to have everybody pray to you. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. I think that's a good precedent for us, to find times throughout the day to pray to God and give Him thanks. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed toward the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating or without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. We see the rest of the story. Of course, the guys that tried to set the trap get thrown in the lion's den, and they're done away with. But it's just kind of an afterthought there. God sent his angel, and that's all we see. No other, explanation, no other description, I wonder. God could have stopped the lions themselves. Why did he send an angel? Maybe Daniel wanted some companionship. Maybe why the angel was there and he had the mouths of the lions shut, that Daniel just kind of cuddled up to the lions. Maybe the angels kind of tickled the underneath of the chin of the lion, or patted his mane or whatever. Maybe they just had a good time together, but Daniel had companionship while he was in the lion's den. But as we read this story and we look at other stories in Scripture, we see that angels are among us, that angels are still active for his saints today. And we see the first thing that they're active in doing is proclaiming God's word. We see it in the story of Jesus. God sent the angel Gabriel to Elizabeth to let her know that she was having a special child. We see in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Angels still today bring good news to us, and they bring it through us to other people. And they expect us to share that message with those around us. We see in the story of Isaiah the prophet that an angel came down and touched his lips to prepare him for the ministry. We see in Daniel 9 and 10 that Gabriel and Michael show up to Daniel to explain to him the vision so then he could explain it to others. But then we see also that the angels lead us to certain places so that we can proclaim God's word ourselves. We see in Acts chapter 8 that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Why? So Philip could meet the Ethiopian eunuch and explain to him the prophet Isaiah, so he would come to know who Jesus was. The angel sent that person to talk to him himself. We see it again in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, who was not a Christian at the time, that God sent an angel to him in a vision and said, "Cornelius, go and get Peter, who is called Simon. Go to him and have, send people and bring him to you so he can explain to you the word of God." I think God is still actively doing that today. I think he did that in my case of coming here. It took 9 months to go through all the hoops. And there was lots of ups and downs. And I've said it many times, if it was not for Jim Deacon, I would not be here. Betty and I would not be here today. there would be different times where we would think, oh, we're coming, and then we'd get a call from Jim and, or Pamela, and it would say, no, not so good. And it came down to August, and you all had a meeting about infant baptism, pros and cons. I was not invited. And so I did not get a call that night until late from Jim. And I knew by the lateness of the call that things had not gone well. And Jim calls me and says, Russ, we've taken this about as far as we can. It's 50-50. I just don't think it's going to work. And I said, hey, we've gone as far as we can go. We've done everything we can. And, you know, hey, we did our best with it. Well, then that next day, I think Jim called me on the way home from work. He says, Russ, I'm getting inundated with text and phone messages saying, would you just come down and preach? Would you just come down so people could hear you? I remember my wife looking at me when I got home. She says, you're crazy. Why would you want to go to an audience of people where half of them don't want you there? But I remember that week I did a funeral for Truman Shintaw. And I was there up at Jamestown doing the funeral for Truman, and the visitation line before the funeral, Gary Walters walks through. And I'd only met Gary the one time at Salem that I'd preached there. Gary walked through and he shook my hand and he said, we need you to come because we need you to preach the Bible the way that it's written. I never thought I'd mention Gary Walters' name and angels in the same breath. But along with that, I got different Facebook messages from people that I didn't know from California. And one of them, I don't know if you remember this, Ross, you sent me a Facebook message. We need you to come. I felt like it was the voice of God's angel to Paul in Macedonia. We need you to come. The vote here was only 2/3. I just want to let you know, the churches I grew up in, 2/3 is not a good vote to approve your ministry. But I had people that were on the search committee, shook my hand. We need you to come. That's a good vote for us, they said. That's a good vote for us. I want to let you know, Salem, they only 3 people voted against me. So I just want to put that out there. But I think God uses his angels to tell you where you need to go. It's not been easy. 7 years. Still difficult at times. But I think God uses his angels to send you where he wants you to proclaim his message. But then we also see that God sends his angels for our protection. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The word angel means messenger. Angels are meant for us. They are created beings to minister us and to encourage us. We see when Jesus got done with his time in the wilderness that the angels appeared when the devil left him and they attended to him. When Jesus was in the Garden of Eden with blood streaming down his forehead, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. When Paul was on a ship that was about to break up and sink into the ocean, it says an angel of God appeared to Paul and told him that everything was going to be all right and nobody would perish. My favorite story is in 2 Kings chapter 6 with Elisha and his servant. They're surrounded by an enemy army, and the servant walks out and he says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? There's an army of horses and chariots around us. The prophet answered, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I pray for my grandkids every day, especially when they're in school. And part of my prayer is, God, surround them with your angels. Protect them. Help them develop a strength that will guide them. But surround them with your angels. And I'll pray the same thing for my kids. We've got one kid right now in Florida. We got another kid in Flagstaff, Arizona. We pray for God's angels protecting. The ones that are with us are more than the ones that are with them. Peter, when he was in prison, James had just been beheaded. Peter's in prison and he gets released through prison through an angel that releases him and rescues him. Look back over your life. Have there been times when you know that that person is there because God sent him to be there to rescue you? God sends his angels for his protection. Psalm 34:7 says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. And I see again in Psalm 91, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. We shouldn't just think about angels at Christmas time. Angels are around us, protecting us, looking after us, pushing us to share God's word. And then finally, we see that angels will be actively involved in the last moments of history. Jesus told the parable of the weeds, and he explains it to his disciples. He says, the one who sowed the good seed is Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. For the last 4 days, I've been in my garden in my mud boots, weeding my corn. I have hoed the rows, but there's those weeds that are right in line with the corn that you can't hoe without damaging the corn. And so even yesterday, after we got another half inch of rain, I waded out into my garden because I had one more row left to do before we leave on vacation after church today. So I'm out there in the mud pulling up all these different weeds because they're as tall as my corn. So I'm pulling them out and I'm throwing them into the middle of the row. And if I had time, I would have come back out and I would have raked up all the weeds and thrown them into my compost pile. The angels are going to be the ones that separate all those from the evil, from the good. Because now when you come and look at my garden, you can see my corn. And it looks halfway decent now. Because the weeds were removed and the weed removers were the angels. So they come to punish, but they also come to project God's glory on us so we shine like stars in the universe. You know, TV and movies have had a hard time with angels, getting the images right. We've had Highway to Heaven back in my day with Michael Landon and Victor French. Not a bad show. We had Touched by an Angel, Roma Downey. A little bit better, I'd say, but still not quite right. And of course, we've had It's a Wonderful Life. Clarence trying to get his wings. Again, not my exact image of the angel that I want protecting me or looking after me. But when you look at Scripture, you find out what makes angels happy. What really gets them set off to be excited and just praising God even more. We see it in Luke chapter 15 when it says, in the same way I tell you, there is more rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You want to make God happy today? You want to set the angels off and have a celebration like no other? Come and put your faith in Jesus. Angels are 24 hours on call. They are God's spiritual responders. They are the EMTs of the spiritual world. We have the Holy Spirit in us to remind us, of course. But even then, we still need angels at times to comfort and encourage us. We see it Peter in prison and Paul on the ship. But what we do know is that Jesus didn't come to die for angels. Jesus came to die for us. And to set that celebration off, you come, you put your faith in Jesus. You come forward and you confess your name. You follow his example in baptism. And you live a life as a disciple of his. And when you do that, you set off the angels. And you can almost hear them singing and praising because of the glory that is happening because of one more changed life.